week here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Well, hello, beautiful Sunday morning to you. I'm Reverend Tommy Bounce. It is good to come to your homes on this beautiful Sunday morning. Happy Easter to you. I hope you're celebrating Easter. The greatest time of our Christian life is really, he's not dead, but he's alive forevermore. And I'm glad to present that message to you today. Let's do this song for you here. There'll be no tears on the other side of Jordan.
There'll be no graves on the hillsides of glory. There'll be no pain on streets of pure gold. There'll be no tears in her eyes in that throne room. There'll be no graves on the hillsides of home. I've lost a loved one. Well, I know you have too. Though we don't know the answer, but God's Word said it's true. We're still full of questions, still caught off of guard. When we drive to the graveside and her loved ones let down, but there'll be no graves on the hillsides of glory. There'll be no pain on streets of pure gold. There'll be no tears in her eyes in that throne room. There'll be no graves on the hillsides of home.
Why, you know life on this old earth, why, it's very short at its very best. You see, we're going to run out of living in these fragile old tents. Ah, but there's a brighter day that's coming in that land of no night, where we'll be present just with Jesus. And you know then, everything's going to be all right. Oh, there'll be no graves on the hillsides of glory. There'll be no pain on streets of pure gold. And there'll be no tears in her eyes in that throne room. There'll be no graves on the hillsides of home. No, there'll be no graves when we all get home.
Well, the Bible said that death is swallowed up in victory, and I'm glad today to report to you victory in Jesus. Well, let's go right now and let Martha do this beautiful song for us right here, and then we're going to bring you a message, and then we're going to sing another song, and I'm so glad that you're there listening this morning. I want to wish you a happy Easter Sunday morning. I hope you're getting ready to go out to the house of God and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Well, let's go right now and listen to Martha as she says this beautiful song for us right here.
I'm not on an eagle tree. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes, I often slip. just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special kind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. The look of love was on his face. On his head, blood was on his scarlet robe, stained a crimson red. Though his eyes was on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me, yet he
into the faith realm and into the grace realm. And when he spoke with great power and authority because he was speaking in faith, believing God. And notice, he begins here in the 18th verse by saying, but as God is true. Now that's a powerful statement. But as God is true, our word towards you was not yet, yea nor nay. God is true. But one word with God is yes or no. That's how truthful God is. For all of the promises of God, in the 20th verse, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now He which established us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who have also sealed us and give us the earnesty of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto the Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. Father, your word for your people honored, and all the people said it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. A pastor goes to a home one day and to visit with an elderly person. I used to do this quite often. I'd always go and I'd always normally take my Bible. If I didn't take my Bible, I would find their Bible and I would read to them. I found out that a lot of elderly people don't get to read the Bible, and I found out a lot of people don't read the Bible. And there's something about reading the Word of God to people. Well, this dear pastor, he visited this home that day, and he went into the home and was talking to the elderly lady, and he asked her, he said, "Ma'am, can I read the Bible to you?" She said, "Yes, sir, pastor, I wish you would." Well, he turned into the Bible, and as he began to look through the pages of that blessed old book, he noticed that every page had something different wrote on it. This was underlined, this was highlighted, and a lot of people say, you ought not write in the Word of God. Well, folks, you ought to look at my Bible. I underline, and I highlight, and I mark, and thoughts come to me, and I jot them down. As a matter of fact, if you look over in Isaiah 35, you'll find that I left a message to my boys. I was preaching many years ago, and I said, well, boys, in that Bible, by the way, the first Bible I ever had, got it with green stamps at the green stamp store. But in that Bible, you will find these words written, boys, you won't have to worry where Daddy's at. I said, because Isaiah 35 will tell you, there's a highway there, and it's called the Highway of Holiness. I said, and if I'm going on, years to come, you pick up this old Bible, you don't have to worry about where Daddy's going to be. I'm going to be on the highway, that highway of holiness. And I'm going to be in heaven. And I left that message for him. Because you see, the Word of God has got so many promises for us. I mean, every promise in this book belongs to me. They say there's 135 promises in this book. I don't know. I never really wrote them down. But I do believe that every promise in this book, it was a promise to me. So this dear preacher, he picks up the Bible and he looks through it. But he noticed there was something in this Bible that was very different. It seemed like out from every verse or every other verse or either on one page, there was a T and there was a P. And he said to the dear lady after reading that Bible to her, he said, ma'am, he said, I notice you mark a lot in your Bible. You mark a lot of things, highlight a lot of things in your Bible. He said, but there's one thing that stood out in my mind that I've got to ask you a question about. He said, how come you got a verse and then out from it you got a dash and then you got a big old T? And then he said, you go on down the line and he said, you look and here's another scripture with a dash out from it and said, there's a P. And she said with trembling voice to the pastor, Pastor, she said, I'll tell you what that means. Everywhere you see a T, that means it's been tested. And she said, everywhere you see a P, that means that it's been proved. My, what great statements that was. And this morning I want to tell you, you may solve for the truth and you may look for the truth. There's not much of it out there. As a matter of fact, it seems like world security is gone. Our jobs is insecure. Homes are insecure. Families and lives are insecure. Young people, I don't know where they're going. My prayer is for them because I don't know what lies ahead. Every day we look for new news in Iraq and get nothing but bad news. All we see is bloodshed all over their streets. Now we're hearing about a civil war that may take place. We hear about racism in America. It seems like on every hand, you hear nothing but things that make us to wonder, hey, what's really going on in our world? I'm here to tell you this morning there's one thing going on in our world, and that's God. God is still true. God is still in control. He'll always be true. He'll always be the Alpha, the Omega. He'll always be the beginning, and He will be the end. He's been true down through the ceaseless ages of time. He was true to the Antediluvian world, and He'll be true to you. He was true to Sodom and Gomorrah. He'll be true to you. He was true over in the city of Nineveh. He'll be true to you. And if there's one thing you need to realize, that this thing has been tested. It's been tested by some of the greatest. And it's been proved by some of the greatest. Some of the old saints of God, I've watched them die. I've watched them go out into eternity with a big smile on their face. Why? Because they tested it and they proved it. I went out of home one time as a young minister. And I'll tell you, coming up as a preacher ain't an easy task. I mean, we see things and face things that are hard. I went into a home as a visiting, I was associate pastor in Racine, Kentucky. I had to go to this home to visit. And I was young, and I didn't know exactly how to handle every situation. Don't even know today. But I was worried. I was afraid when I went into this home to say the right thing and do the right thing. Here's a mother laying there on the bed and eating up with cancer, had a cancer on her side as big as a basketball. And she's laying there, and I walked in that room, and I was scared to death. I didn't know what to say. What is the right thing to say at a time like this? And I walked in, and I won't forget it, George. I walked over to the bed, and she said, "Young man, let me have your hand." And I rested my hand down, and she said, "You're scared, aren't you?" She said, "You're nervous and you're worried, ain't you?" I said, "Yes, Mother, I am. I don't know what to say and how to say it." I said, "I've come to bring you comfort," I said, "but I think I'm in almost as bad a shape as you are." And you know, that mother took my hand and she said, "Young man," she said, "I got so much to go to heaven for, can't hardly wait." And I thought, man, this is strange. A lady laying dying with cancer, big smile on her face, and talking about being anxious to go to heaven. My, I stood there, didn't know what to say. And she said, "Look around my bed. Here stood her mama. Here stood her mother with all of her little children, her boys and her girls, and her husband standing over there, tears running down their cheek." And she said, "Mommy's just getting ready to go to heaven and get the mansion prepared." And she said, "It won't be long until my children will be coming, and we'll not have to face anything like this again." Why? Because God has been true. God has always been faithful. He said to the disciples when they were brokenhearted, when it seemed like all hope was going to be gone, He said unto them these great words, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you why." Because, listen, it's been tested and it's been proved. Let me tell you something. I had a dear old daddy that tested it. I had a dear old daddy that proved it. He laid on his bed when he was dying. And I've got the flashlight right now. A nurse gave me one of those little lights, one of those little battery-type lights. The battery's gone dead now. The light don't burn. Martha brought it to me the other day in the kitchen. So I thought, you want to keep this little light. It's one of those little bitty lights you push on the side of it and the light comes on. The nurses use it in ICU and all that. And they would come in every now and then and look at my daddy's eyes because my daddy's in a semi-coma. But let me tell you something. My daddy had proved and tested it, because when death has closed in on him, when his eyes are turning glassy, when he knows that he's changing worlds, let me tell you the last words my daddy said. My daddy said, "I'm going home now to be with the Lord." I'll tell you why. Because he had tested it and he had proved it to be true. Let me tell you something, my friend. When we're changing worlds, all doubt and all fear leaves at the point where we can be like David and say, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they cover me. And thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy." If there's one thing we need to learn, is God is true. God will never fail us. The Keystone Bank failed a lot of people not long ago. I didn't have any money in that bank. Wished I had in a way. In another way, I'm glad I didn't. But a lot of people, they face failure because that bank collapsed, and a lot of people lost a lot of their fund. But let me tell you something, brother. When you invest it in God, you ain't going to lose it. They're not going to call you. God ain't going to call you one day and say, "Heaven is bankrupted." I'm going to tell you something, brother. Heaven will never bankrupt. Some people say, "Well, when times get hard, God will just chip up a little gold off of the streets of gold, and He will replenish what you're losing." Let me tell you something. The Keystone Bank may have failed a lot of people, but I'm telling you this morning, God will never fail you. The Great Depression, I don't know. Is any of you here that lived during the Great Depression? I don't know. I didn't live in it. But they tell me that was a terrible time. When people went to bed, Nancy had money in the bank, had a lot of land, had all these things. They got up one morning and it was all gone. Look at down in New Orleans. Those people went to bed in safety and security to get up the next morning. And when they stepped their feet over the bed, guess what? The ocean had then come in the home, and the home was invaded with water. They say even right now, because of that, a lot of people are still dying. Why? Because of the disease and all the things that have happened. But I've got news for for you, my friend. I'm here to tell you that God has never failed you, and God will never fail you. You know, we get a lot of false promises, don't we? Oh, we get a lot of false promises. We stand before the altar, and that little woman promises us everything. She said, I'll stay with him, I'll love him, and I will honor him, I'll respect him, and I'll stay with him until the day I die. Now, let me tell you something, folks. I'm not criticizing divorced people. I'm not condemning divorced people. Divorces happen. But, oh, let me tell you something. What I'm talking about is some of our promises fail. Why, many of you have promised, Jeannie, I'll be in the choir, but you haven't. Many of you have promised you'd be in church, but you haven't. Many of you have promised God a whole lot of things that you haven't. Many of people here that is sitting here this morning has made many vows, Randy, have made many promises to God. They said, God, I'll do this. I laid on my bed of affliction and sickness covered my body. And I said to God, make me well, God. And when I get out of here, I'm going to go to church. But you didn't. You forgot all about that promise you made to God. You told God, give me a good job, God, so I can provide for my family, and I'll give you a tenth. But you didn't. Because those vows and those promises were not made, to God and not kept to God. But I got news for you, my friend. You'll not find one promise wrote in this book where God promised you anything and never delivered. God is not that kind of a God. We sometimes think that, oh, it was so easy for Jesus to go to Calvary. It wasn't easy for him to go to Calvary. You know why he went? Because one day when sin invaded the Garden of Eden, God promised us a Savior. God promised us at the beginning of time that he would send his only begotten Son. And he came because God kept his promise. The promise of God ain't easy. Hey, when you make promises to God, they're not always easy. I know it's not easy to make a promise and keep it to God. I know that our promises fail. But let me tell you something. God made a promise. God said, I'll send my Son. I'll hang him upon a tree. I'll let them mock him. I'll let them spit in his face. He will become the shame of the creation. He will become the most disastrous thing to happen. But it's because I'm going to keep my promise to the people. Oh, if we had people that would do that. If we had the people, even in this community right here, that had promised God when they stood at this altar and took membership to this church, and believe you me, they wasn't only promising the church, they were promising God. They stood here before the preacher, and when they took the membership in, and you said to them, you said, will you come? Will you support with your attendance and with your offerings? And they said, yes, we will do it. But oh, that promise has failed. You can look around in community after community. You can hear excuse after excuse. But let me tell you something. You've got to remember, you promised God. You promised God. You made a vow to God. And listen, those vows must be paid. The Bible said that we must pay our vows unto God. Can you imagine when we stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You say, well, he's done forgot that promise. No. The Bible said the books will be open, and brother, out of those books we will be judged for the deeds that are done in this body. All of the promises you made, all the commitments that you made to God will be written down in that book. Someone said the other night at the Bible study, we were talking about the book of life. And the book of life, and I made this statement, not being hypocritical or criticizing the person that said it. I said, wait a minute, let's call it to your attention. You may have no name written in the book of life. That means that when you were born, they wrote your name in the book of life. But let me tell you, that ain't worth a dime. That ain't worth a dime when you stand before the King of Kings, because there's another book according to the Bible, and out of this book, nations will be judged. And unless your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, hey, let me tell you, you'll never make it to heaven. Oh, you may stand there and you may sing that song that I used to love to sing. Please check the book again. I go to church on Sunday, but I never stop to pray. I go and sing in the choir, but I never stop to pray. I go on Wednesday night Bible study, but I never stop to pray. And then all of a sudden, the grim reaper will say, I can cannot find your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then you're going to come to the course of life. Please check the book again. I thought my name was written there. Hey, let me tell you, you don't want a false-so salvation. Brother, you want a no-so salvation. And believe you me, brother, if God promised you a home in heaven, you've got a home in heaven. If He promised you He'd cleanse you up from sin, He'll cleanse you up from sin, brother, and forgive you of all of those past sins. What sins are you talking about? Let me tell you, the sins of my life are under the blood. When I walk into heaven, guess what the song I'm going to sing? They're under the blood. And He's going to say, who are these? And they're going to say, these are those that have come out of great tribulation. I got news for you, my friend. God's promise is true. Give Him a big hand. Well, I kiss Him.
And let's agree together that all our enemies will crumble at our feet. Whatever we find on earth shall be found in heaven. And at the name of Jesus, Satan has to got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Oh, praise and praise, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. For many years now, Satan's tried to stop us, but the Church of Jesus, oh, it's still alive. Like a mighty army, we keep marching onward, winning every battle with the Lord on my side. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Don't say praise. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Marshal his host, but thank God we've got the power in the name of Jesus. Well, I wish you a happy Easter. I hope that you're doing well. And if you're not, I'm praying for you, and I hope you're praying for me. And remember, us financially, we need some help on the broadcast. It's kind of slowed down a whole lot. But we're not going to give up, give in, or give out just yet. We're going to keep going. As long as God says go, we'll be going here on this radio ministry. So I want you to be part of this ministry. I'm playing a lot of the old tapes that we've had, and there's some pretty good preaching there, I think. So, and I hope that God gives you the strength and the courage to support me. And hold my hands up. Lift my hands up. I've been on this radio ministry since 86. I think it's 86, but that's a long time. I'll be at the Pillar of Truth this morning preaching, and Easter Sunday morning. I'd love you to come out and be with us. Father, we're praying for the sick, praying for that lost person. God, what a beautiful day this is. This is a day that You've made, and You made it especially just for us. And God, I pray for that one that's sick and afflicted. I pray where the devil has boasted and marshaled his host against him. We take authority over the devil right now. We curse him in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, he has to flee. Well, neighbor, it has been good to be with you. I appreciate you. And you know they've changed all the addresses. So, and the rest of it is the same. But I'll give it to you again next week. Well, goodbye. Be good. And may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Today's broadcast and or music tapes by Tommy and Martha are available by request. Simply include your request along with your offering when writing to...